All right. How many of you really believe, be honest, God either spoke to you this weekend or God touched you in some form or some way? My. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just while you put your hands up, I went back to go to the toilet and a couple quickly grabbed me and said, listen, remember we prayed for your little one. They were in the corner over here. I can't remember. There's the mother, Jan. I don't know where the dad is at the back. I think there he is feeding his child. And the child had an eye condition. Is that correct? Very irritating, very red and itchy. And God healed him last night. He woke up this morning done. That's what we were trusting for. Amen. We didn't want to wake him up while he was sleeping. You know, we didn't have to shake him and be healed. We just heal him, Lord, as he sleeps. Amen. Amen. So we thank you, Lord, for that. Really do thank you, Lord, for that. Just to encourage you. So what I want to do this morning is to try and bring this weekend to a, not a close, but just so you can go home with something. I want to talk a little bit about nurturing the seed of revelation. In other words, I'll put it another way. Taking hold of what God has done in you or what God has spoken to you and not letting that just wash through you and it has no lasting impact. You with me? And I want to do it in a very practical way. Very practical way. So it can help us. Because when God speaks, as I said on Friday night, it always comes with the spirit of revelation. It does not come to make us smart or give us information. But it comes to make us aware so we can be transformed. Amen. Yeah. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of the Lord is a double-edged sword, sharper than any double-edged sword. It can penetrate right down to where soul and spirit meet, to where bone and marrow meet. In other words, when God speaks or God works in us, it can go so deep. Sometimes we're not aware of the depth, but it does. It goes deep into us. Just let me also say, for those of you who had extensive ministry last night, some of you were very powerfully touched. You might have a couple of days where you feel very tired or your emotions are a little bit like that. That's fine. Just be gracious with yourself or with your spouse. It's just that you had some like surgery, spiritual surgery happening inside you, and you need to give yourself time to let it settle. You understand what I'm saying? And so just be aware of it. That's all I'm saying. Just be aware of it. Okay. Some of you might sleep very well tonight. That's wonderful. Good. Go home and sleep. All right. Jesus said this in John 6:63. The words I speak are spirit and life. The words I speak are spirit and life. They carry something. But everything God speaks to us comes in seed form. It doesn't come in its fullness in terms of the harvest. It comes in seed form. Jesus told the parable of the sower. And you know the parable, and we're going to briefly look at it. The parable of the sower in Mark 4, Matthew 13, and Luke 8. They mention in those scriptures. And it's the seed, the farmer that goes out and sows the seed, and he scatters the seed. You know what I'm talking about? And when his disciples come and ask him, what does this mean? He said, the seed is the word of God. It's not the logos word. It's not just this word that's written on black and white ink here. It's the word, the rhema word, the now word, the word that is needed now for you. It's that word. Amen. And it's the word of God. And then he talks a little bit about it, which we're going to do. Just to help us understand, folk, if we can grasp us, it helped me tremendously. When God speaks, the origin or source is not from this world. I know, but it's not. The origin or source is not from this world. It's not of this world. It's not from this world. It's from another world, in a sense. It's from heaven. Amen. But because we hear it, it's very similar to the way we hear other things, we tend to treat it the way we hear other things. And we shouldn't. Because when God speaks, because it's not from this world, it carries the resources of heaven. It carries the DNA of heaven. It carries the life of heaven. It carries whatever that word needs to do or perform in your life. So I see it like a God speaks and it's like this pulsating, I can't explain what this pulsating, I don't know, seed coming down from heaven, pulsating with the energy and the life and the DNA of God. And it's coming down into earth. And when it comes and it enters in your heart, it's still pulsating with God himself, his life, his energy, his DNA, the ability to do what that word will call it to do. Amen. And so the key is to get it inside. Because if you get it inside, that word by itself will change you. Do you have any pregnant ladies here? No pregnant ladies. Oh, okay. That's unusual for a church of this size. My, all right. We just had a lot of babies. Oh, it's that season. All right. Pregnancy is just a seed that has been put in a woman through intimacy. In the same thing, spirit. When we're intimate and close with, he plants seeds within us. You with me? And that seed in a woman, have you ever seen a pregnant woman when she's very pregnant? She doesn't walk like she normally walks. She walks a little like a duck. If you understand what I'm saying. Because she's got this load she's carrying. You have no idea. No, Mark. And sometimes when they sit down, they don't sit down like they would normally just sit down. That's like it's a struggle, if you understand. Why? Because the very life that is within her womb is changing her. She even has different desires than she would normally have. Now, in the same way, when the seed of God gets in you, that seed will change you if you allow it to. You don't have to work at it. You don't have to work at it. Hello? You with me? But it will. Just give it time. Just give it time. It will turn. It will change. It will change the way you think. It will change your attitudes. That's what it will do. It will have tremendous. And it literally is the backbone of faith in your life. That's what it is. It's the backbone of faith. All right. So it's nurture. The word nurture is to care for, encourage, the growth of, the development of. That's the word nurture. So let's go to Luke chapter 8 if we can. Luke chapter 8. And let's quickly look at it. How do we go about this? How do we go about this? Luke chapter 8. As I said, this parable is spoken in, I think it's Mark 4 and Matthew 13, if I'm not mistaken, and then Luke chapter 8. So I just want to go to Luke chapter 8. So Luke chapter 8, I don't want to read the whole parable. I just want to read from verse 9. His disciples asked him what the parable meant. He said, "This knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you." So Jesus is saying, there's something in this parable that I'm telling you, that the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God are contained within the seed in this parable that I'm giving you. Hallelujah. All right. In verse 11, he tells you the meaning, and I don't want to go through all the other points. I want to go down to verse 15. But the seed on good soil represents a receptive heart. That's all it does. It represents an open heart. Let me, if I can just say this. How many of you had disappointment in your life? All right. Yeah. I'm encouraging you to biblically how to respond to that disappointment. Because the Bible says this. It's in Proverbs 13. I can't remember verse 12. I think it is. It says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." Hope deferred doesn't make the head sick, makes the heart sick. So the hope deferred is trying to take the same place that the seed of God wants to come and take. It's in your heart. They are contending for that same space within you, if you understand what I'm saying. And if we don't deal with disappointment, it can block or it can hinder the seed of faith coming in. That's all I'm trying to say. Amen. So I'm encouraging you. And I learned how to deal with it only through, and I don't want to mention the guy's name because then some people like him and some people don't. But I just want to give him. I actually heard Bill Johnson talk a little bit on how he dealt with it. And all he does, and it's helped me profusely, when he's in a place where he's struggling or disappointed because things haven't happened as he thought they would, or life has come in you and your child's got sick or whatever and you don't know how to deal with it. And Lord, I can't understand this. It's not in your will. Why is my child sick or whatever? You know what I'm talking about. Amen. Or things didn't work out as I thought they would work out, or you promised this, now this is happening, and disappointment comes in, or whatever the case is. He goes to the book of Psalms, and he reads Psalms until he finds a place that he can identify with and say, that's where I'm at, right there. Because in the Psalms, it has every emotion written in it that man goes through. Find your place in the Psalms and camp there. Amen. Because every psalm will be, David was brutally honest. That's what I love about David. But every psalm ended, but God, you are good. But God, I pray. That's why they're so good. But David's not afraid to just spill his heart. All right, so let's read this again. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So Jesus said, all right, if you want to have a harvest, you've got to plant a seed. Give it time. And if you nurture it, retain it, the harvest will come. Yes. The same in the natural. A farmer plants a seed, he gives it time, the harvest comes. Depending on what the seed is, depending on the time that's needed. Amen. So the first thing Jesus said is, you've got to hear it. That is very key. It's an attitude of interest. It's a desire to receive and understand. That's what it is. It's like you're standing on your toes like this and saying, all right, I'm ready. It's like when you're waiting for a bus. If you're standing there and you keep looking, when's the bus coming? It's that type of, you hear it with that. Amen. It's not like when I'm watching the football or I'm watching the cricket on TV and my wife walks in and I'm watching and I've got the remote and she speaks to me and says, that's great, Michelle. Yeah, no, go for it. Yeah. And then she stops speaking. Yeah, or whatever. Yeah. And then she stops speaking and you say, yeah, no, that's great. And she's just standing, yeah, no. Oh, she stopped. What did you say? We men are very good at that, are we not? Amen. Don't listen like that. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. You didn't do that. Okay. All right. Let me use another example. It's like when we arrived at Mark and Bridget's place, they welcomed us. It's like they welcomed us. They invited us in. They waited for us. And when we arrived, they welcomed us into their home. That's the attitude you have. You welcome, God, we welcome your word. We are interested. We are captivated by it. Amen. You with me? Have that attitude. All right, so that's the first one. I said it's very simple. Second one is to retain it. That word retain literally means to maintain possession of, to hold on firmly, to keep with care and interest or intent. All right, so let me go back to this. So Mark and Bridget welcome us in, but they didn't just welcome us in and say, all right, cheers, we're going, we're going to leave you. No, they entertained us. They looked after us. There was care and interest. Bridget gave us so much stuff, we're actually hiring a trailer to take it all home this afternoon. And I'm teasing you, Bridget. She's just showered with so much stuff. It's wonderful. Okay, the greatest tool that you can use to retain something that God has given you is biblical meditation and prayer. Now, there's a difference between biblical meditation and Eastern meditation. I was taught that other meditation or transcendental meditation or whatever you want to call it. You see, people do that because there's something in it. But Eastern meditation or transcendental meditation teaches you to clear your mind. Hello? To clear your mind. To get rid of everything and have like a blank mind. Don't do that. Because the devil will fill it. Biblical meditation is to meditate upon something. And the three ways Psalms tells us how to meditate, and I've got all the scriptures, I just don't have time in Psalms. The three ways I'm going to give you. The first one is to mutter. To mutter. Let me ask you a question. How many of you ever worried about something intently? You've all meditated, but you just meditated on the wrong thing. That's all it is. You've meditated, but just on the wrong thing. So the best way to biblically meditate is one of the ways is to mutter. Mutter is simply like this. You wake up in the morning and you didn't sleep well, your back's a little sore, and you pour your coffee and it spills, and oh, jeez, not one of those days. Where's the dog? Let me kick the dog. Oh, jeez, it's raining again. And you're talking under your breath, but that's negative muttering. Biblical muttering is, Lord, I thank you that you love me. I think it's a great day. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your promises on me. Just thank you for what you did last night. You're just muttering to yourself. You can do that anywhere. You can do it in the toilet. You can do it in your shower. You can do it in your car. You can do it while you're walking. You can do it in the office. It's a wonderful way to mutter. Mutter. Your lips move, but only you can hear it. Amen. It's a biblical way. That's what the Bible says. You talk to yourself. Just don't answer yourself back. Yeah, all right. The second way is to muse. Biblical meditation is to muse. And that word muse literally means like the cow that takes the cud and it just chews it and chews it and chews it and chews it and chews it until it extracts all the juice out of it. And so you get what God has either said or done to you and say, God, I acknowledge what you've done. Now I want to muse over it. I want to think about it. I want to cross-reference in the Bible if I need to. I'm going to go get a concordance and, Lord, you said this, and let me see exactly what it all means. Hello? You with me? You're taking time. You're giving that word time. You're musing on it. You're getting everything you can out of it. Sorry, I don't mean to embarrass anybody. Let me ask this young lady here because you don't have to go anywhere. Okay. Does God heal?
Yes.
Why?
Because he loves us.
Yeah, great. I agree. Why else?
Because he can.
Agreed? Why else? Sorry, I don't mean to give you a hard time.
Because he designed us to be whole.
Yes, agreed. All those answers are correct. There's nothing wrong with those answers. 100% correct. How do you know God heals us? Sorry, let me put it that way.
I've seen him do it.
Yeah, right, great, hallelujah. I like that answer, okay. Why else? That's it, you got it, that's the answer. Not because Mark says so. Not because I say so. Because the word of God says so. God says it. Find it in the Bible where the Bible says God heals. There's millions of scriptures. And get that in you. Amen.
Yes.
That's what it means to muse over. All right, because there's days you're going to come, you have little faith or zero faith in you. You're so tired, you can hardly breathe, you can hardly see out of your eyes. They've still got the sleep matter together. And then somebody says, come and pray for me. And you think, oh, jeez, come on, man. See, healing only comes two ways, by the anointing of the word of God. That's how it comes, by the anointing of the word of God.
Yeah.
And you feel zero anointing. You can't even spell the word anymore. You feel like you just want to crawl into bed. So what do? You go back to what the word says and you begin to speak the word. You begin to speak the word. Amen. That's how it happens. All right, so it's muse. So it's matter, muse, and the third way is to talk. To talk. I'm going to quote a scripture. Joshua 1:8 says this. Joshua, my son, be strong and courageous. Be very strong and very courageous. Meditate on this law day and night with your, and I'll leave a blank, a space. Then you'll be prosperous and successful and enter the land I promised on oath to you. Meditate on this law day and night with your mouth. You got it. With your mouth. In other words, speak it, say it, shout it. Whatever, with your mouth, you got to talk. You got to talk it. You got to talk it. You got to talk it. You got to declare it. You got to say it. That's why praise and worship is so powerful, because you're singing. Your mouth has been used for something. You with me? You have to talk it. Let me just say this, folks. You only walk into what comes out of your mouth. If it doesn't come out of your mouth, you will not walk into it. You will not. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is in Lord, you will be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and your mouth you confess that Jesus is Lord. Your mouth and your heart need to work together. So the mouth is the overflow of the heart. That's what Jesus said. Amen. You have to talk it. I can quote you so many scriptures. Isaiah 53. How many of you know what Isaiah 53 is? It's a wonderful passage about what Jesus is going to do and dying on the cross and etc. How does Isaiah 54 start? Anybody know? Sing, O barren woman. Sing, shout aloud, you who ne'er could bear a son. That's how it starts. 1 Corinthians 1:20 says the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And the amen is spoken by us, not by God. Let me show you something very powerful. It helped me a lot. I need two people. Can I use you if you don't mind? And let me use another guy. Let me use this man if you don't mind. Sorry, Stevie. Let me use this man. Right. No, you come. Yeah. Okay. All right. The Bible says this. Okay, you're going to face the people. All right. The Bible says this. It was an Old Testament principle, but it was also carried over into the New Testament. Every matter has to be established by the witness of two or three. Jesus said that. Paul said that. Every matter can only be established by the witness of two or three. Let me use an example. So we had an offering, yeah, some of the things are still in there. But say now, let me use Bridget. Bridget comes and takes that box and she goes outside. And as she's walking outside, I'm on the way to the men's. And I see her taking the money and putting it in her pocket. And I run in here and I say, Mark, Bridget is taking the money. Janine's taking the money. Sorry. Janine's taking the money. Yeah, Janine. So Mark says, did anybody else see? No. It's her word against mine. Nothing can be established. You with me? All right. Now, you're going to play God, and you're going to play the devil. Okay. This is the devil. This is God. Okay.
I think much more highly of you.
All right. Okay. I'm going to play you and me. So God comes to you and me and says, I love you. I've redeemed you. I paid a price for you. I'll never leave you.
I'll never forsake you.
I have plans for you.
I have purposes for you.
Doing a great job. The devil comes and says, I know your shortcomings. He's even got the voice right. I know the sin you struggle with. I know what you did yesterday.
Yes, and the day before that.
And and God doesn't love you. You know the story. Okay, that's one witness. That's one witness. Whatever comes out of my mouth is the second witness. That's what I walk in. Whatever comes out of my mouth. Thank you. That's how powerful it is. Amen. That's why you have to speak it. So you go home. God, you told me this. I've done this in other churches. Never had a good guy like that. Never. I think he's going to trouble with me. He's even got the whatever. But you have to speak it. You have to speak it. You have to declare it. You have to, people. Can't just let it think about it. Speak it out. God, this is what you said. This is what you said, God. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to put it on the mirror. And every morning when I brush my hair, I'm going to say, Lord, thank you. This is what you said. Hallelujah. You with me? Amen. So you got to muse, mutter, or talk. That's how you maintain it. All right, what's the next thing we've got to do? Is we've got to persevere. The word persevere literally means to remain under, a bearing up under, a patient endurance as to things or circumstances. Let me use an example. When Michelle and I, when I first got saved, she was saved earlier, although she didn't know it, and then we went into Cape Town into full-time ministry, we decided, not me, we decided that we would be careful what we watch and what we listen to. Because garbage in, garbage out. Very simple. What I allow to come into me is going to come out of me. So we made a decision, I'll be very careful the movies we watch and the music we listen to. I want to encourage you young people. I'm not against secular music, don't get me wrong. But there's some music out there that is awful. There's some music, it might sound good, the lyrics might, but I'm telling you, it comes literally from the pit of hell. Just be aware of it. That's all I'm asking. Just be aware of it. Anyway, we decided. But I love movies. I relax in movies, particularly court cases, true life stories. That's my, that, if you understand what I'm saying. So a movie came out many years ago. I can't remember about it. And I had read it up on a, and I said, oh, I'd love to see that movie. And then we didn't have computers in those days, so I had to get the newspaper. But I see it was rated 2 to 18. I thought, oh, jeez. So I said to Michelle, Monday was our day off. Monday night, we're going to go to movies. So she said, that's great. What are we going to see? I told her. She didn't ask me anything else. She did very well. But now the whole of Monday, I'm stewing inside. I'm stewing inside. I'm stewing inside. Because I actually really want to see it. But I know in terms of what we believe God told us. Because we did it because we felt God tell us that. So we get dressed. We get showered. We go to the movie. We come to the movie house. Michelle's waiting while I go and buy the tickets. And as I'm buying the tickets, I say to the lady, is this a good movie? What do you think she's going to say? She says, great movie. So I said, oh, okay. I said, is there a lot of bad language in it? She said, oh, just a little bit. I'm thinking, what am I doing? You know what I mean? But the tussle won't go. And then I just decided, no. Lord, I'll be obedient to your word. And as I made that decision, the peace of God came over me. I said, thank you, but no thank you. We're not going to see it. She even tried to convince me. I said, no, we're not going to see it. That's what I'm talking. You see, the psalm says this. God has a delightful inheritance for us. But the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places that we can walk into that inheritance. God doesn't curb you, but he puts boundary lines in your life. And he's saying, Ken, that is not helpful for you. That's what it means to persevere. That's why you can't put on anybody else. You can only put what God puts in you, in your life. Not religiously, when he has spoken to you. Amen. Because he'll tell you certain things. He'll say to this lady over here, listen, my daughter, don't get involved in that stuff. It's not even sinful or bad, but for you, it's not good for you. But he won't tell this lady over here. Hello?
Yeah.
And then you got to persevere. You got to hang in there. And everything inside you wants to be disobedient, but you persevere. By persevering, you produce a crop. Amen. So you got to hear it. You got to retain it. And by persevering, you will produce a crop. You will. Why? Because the word is inside you. And the word by itself is energizing you and changing you. Changing your attitudes. Changing the way you think. And the word, God says, I watch over my word to perform it. Amen. So it's not you trying to be a good Christian. It's just you being obedient to God's voice. And you leave everything else up to him. And you'll see, you will walk into it. If God has promised some of you, you will lay their hands on the sick. And all Christians are called to do that, but some are called a little more. You're going to lay your hands on the sick and you see sick people. Well, you're going to have to persevere. You're going to have to persevere. You're going to have to persevere. And you have to read books that are going to help you. You're going to have to read people that have been through this journey themselves. And persevered, and you can learn things from them. Don't do what they did, but just learn some principles. You with me? Healing the Sick by T.L. Osborne. F.F. Bosworth called Christ a Healer. Start to read that stuff and get it in you, and get it in you, and get it in you. When we first went into ministry, we got thrown into deliverance. Literally, we didn't want it, but it just came our way, and I had to learn how to deal with it to help people be set free. And I plowed into it, and I plowed into it, and I read everything I could get my hands on. We went a little bit overboard, but God brought some balance later. We went very overboard. We thought there was a demon under every bush, but anyway, unfortunately, that's what happens. But God brought balance. But it curbed my lifestyle in some of the things I could do because of where God was taking us. But it was a joy. Amen. How many of you have run a race, a strenuous race, or a swim, or been in some sports competition? Okay. Did you have to put training in? Yes, that's exactly the same principle. You've got to put training. You've got to get up early. You've got to run while everybody's sleeping. It's the same thing with God. Hello? Okay. And I'm encouraging you. Let's go to Mark chapter 4 and then we finish. Is that okay, folk? Mark chapter 4. Listen to this, verse 26. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground day and night, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come. Similar thing. All by itself. He doesn't know how, but it just grows. The Lord promised Michelle and I would go to the nations. I didn't even know it was in the Bible. I honestly didn't know it was in the Bible. But we had to make some adjustments because we said, all right, Lord, we believe you. We're hanging there. And we were actually, a man phoned me. I didn't know him very well. I'd actually just led him to the Lord. I was busy chatting to him about a big businessman. He phoned me one day and said, can I need to have coffee with you? I said, that's great. I'll go and have coffee with you. I sat down, and as I sat down with him, but Michelle and I had been discussing, we're going to Taiwan, but we had nothing, absolutely nothing. And we were sitting there, and he had a jacket on. He opened his jacket. He took a brown envelope out, and he put it in my hand, and he said, this is for you. And when I got home, it was 10,000 rand paid for our trip. We were staying in a house in South Africa, and we had a boarder that rented a little cottage. And every morning, I used to hear him push his car. He just park his car on the road, and he used to, because the battery. And he was saving money to buy a new car. And one day, we invited him over for dinner in the house, and we were chatting, And then somehow it got out there. We trusted God to go to India, whatever the case is. And the next morning, I heard this car. The following morning, a knock on my door, 6:30. Ken, this is for you. I said, what's this? He said, no, just open it later. It was all his savings he had saved for his car to pay for us to go to India. You know how humbling it was. We came back from India. What did he hear? Reminded me of God. See, God will make a way. Amen. God will fulfill his word and his promise. So I pray that's helpful. Okay, I've got other stories, but we're running out of time. Wonderful, okay. It's very simple, but it's true. It's just the word. It's just the truth of God's word.